Welcome to Chamber Talk. I'm Andrew Gregson, and today's special episode, we're honoured to have Derek Tran, a member of the Democratic Party, who is a candidate running for the 45th Congressional District. Welcome. Derek, for being here today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. Hi, Andrew. Hi, North Orange County Chamber. Nice to be here.
Born to Vietnamese refugees, Derek's family established a corner market and through hard work made that work. He's an Army veteran. He brings a bipartisan mindset to Congress. He's also a law graduate, and Derek champions immigrants, workers and consumers through his Orange County business. Derek's commitment extends to accountability in addressing Southern California's infrastructure challenges. With his wife Michelle, a pharmacist, together they aided local businesses throughout the pandemic. Thank you for that, that was very kind. And as a parent of three, Derek advocates for affordable healthcare and reduced prescription drug costs. So, Derek, thank you very much for coming on today. And why don't you lead us in with a little bit about your background and things you've done?
Great. Thank you. Thank you again, Andrew. A little about who I am. I want to share that what keeps me grounded as a human being, a candidate, a lawyer, a small business owner, is the fact that I have an amazing family. My wife, Michelle, who I run the pharmacy with, my 8-year-old son, Bryson, my 6-year-old daughter, Olivia, and my 18-month-old, Landon. Beyond that, I am a small business owner. I am a veteran. I am a consumer rights lawyer. But what's made me who I am today is the fact that I am the son of Vietnamese refugees. My parents came to this country with nothing. They worked hard. Through government assistance and their hard work, they were able to save up enough money to start a small corner market. And from that, they bought a house, truly realizing the American dream. Mm. I recognize that my parents sacrificed everything so that I could succeed. So my entire life has been dedicated to living up to the examples that my parents have set. At 18, I enlisted in the military. I wanted to give back to the country that's given me so much. With my legal practice, I've dedicated to representing employees who's been discriminated and harassed by greedy and harmful corporations, same corporations that I intend to take on when I'm in Congress. And I find time in my schedule to continue to give back to the community as a city commissioner, as an active Rotarian, as a mentor to youth that comes out of the base in the military base in Los Alamitos. I'm sorry. And I'm running for Congress, Andrew, and members of the North Orange County Chamber, because I really want to protect democracy. I want to ensure that anyone, no matter what community, what neighborhood they're from, has the same opportunities to succeed, to live and realize the American dream like my parents, like I did. Mm-hmm. And that's very unlike who's in office today, who's turned her back on the people of the 45th District.
So, Derek, what really motivated you to actually go for Congress? Because it's not an easy thing to do. So what made you do that?
It's not, Andrew, and I appreciate your question. I think that this country is so divided right now. Nothing's really getting done. And given my military background, being a soldier, I know what it's like to be mission-focused in accomplishing a task. And it doesn't matter what party you're from. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or you're a Democrat or you're an independent. What matters is coming together and getting something done, getting something accomplished. And that's what's missing in Washington, D.C. And that's what we need more of.
And do you mind sharing some of the key experiences that you've personally endured throughout your life or through your journey of life that would probably help you pursue the public service?
Yeah, I would share this. Growing up as a child of refugees, we grew up very poor. We were on food stamps. We were on WIC. We were part of Section 8 housing. But those programs that we were on was also what helped push me to give back to my community, to give back to this country. Mm-hmm. And that's what's motivated me to run, because I want to continue to serve and give back by going into Congress and passing good common sense laws.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if I may ask, Derek, what sort of key issues would you be, were you sort of like running on right now? What's critical to your community do you feel that you need to address?
Yeah, absolutely. In being out there, Andrew, and talking to the voters, to the community, what's important to them is a strong economy. Mm-hmm. They feel that inflation's out of control. They feel that cost of living is very hard on them right now. So one of my priorities is to have, one of my priorities when I get to Congress is to make sure that we pass legislation, more legislation like the Inflation Reduction Act that was passed a few years ago. That's very important in controlling costs. That's very important. And one of the big things that came out of that legislation was the reduction of insulin costs. That's something that I know firsthand owning a pharmacy with my wife. Mm-hmm. People come in, they cannot afford prescription drugs. These are medications that are keeping them alive because it's too expensive.
Right.
So we need more laws like that to bring down costs, to make the economy work again for the people.
Now, I'm assuming with you understanding that, have you already thought of some ideas of, you know, how you would go about changing this and how people could be able to afford the insulin and things?
Right. I think having ideas and then being able to get to Washington, D.C. to fix it and address these things are two different things, right? I'm always hopeful, and I want to make sure that I go into Congress and when I go to Washington, D.C. to represent my district, that I am always thinking about my constituents and what's going to be best for them. Mm-hmm. So I would say that bipartisan work, bipartisanship, getting us all to work together again to pass good bills like further reduction in insulin costs, mm-hmm. further reduction in prescription costs, you know, affordable health care for the people. Because when they have more money, they're going to spend more in the economy, mm-hmm. you know, and I truly believe that. So mm-hmm. it's working together from a bipartisan standpoint to pass laws to benefit our citizens and our nation again.
And could you explain a little bit how you how involved you are in your community? You mentioned earlier you're a Rotarian, so that's a big role that people yeah. play. Is there anything else you generally do in your local area?
I mean, the call to service for me came early when I was 18. I enlisted. You know, to give back to my country. I've always been part of some type of service organization. Before Rotary, I was a Kwanian. And even in high school, I was part of the service groups like Key Club, you know, giving back to my community. When I first passed the bar and opened my own practice, I opened a small law clinic in Garden Grove. I wanted to just help and assist, and this was free to the community members who would come out to seek advice. And that was my way of giving back. And I continue to give back through mentoring youth from the Sunburst Academy okay. out in Los Alamitos Army Base.
Oh, good. And so you mentioned earlier, you were talking about, you know, working together, collaborating, bipartisan. Obviously, you know, when we look at things across our business or a political arena, sometimes look a bit different. Do you feel there's some way that you're able to help that further? Would you mind sharing about that?
I think that's a great question. One of the benefits about being a an attorney, and I'm a litigator and trial lawyer, is that I learned that civility goes such a long way. By treating your, even though they might be on the other side from you on a subject matter, or in this case, maybe a different party member, but, you know, treating someone with professionalism, respect, and civility.
Would you mind sharing a little bit about any other political ideas that you actually have? You know, you mentioned about healthcare, you mentioned about, you know, obviously, don't wish to just say drugs, but let's just say, you know, medicines that people need. Is there anything else that, you know, ticks through your mind? You think, you know, I definitely need to have a look at that when I get into office.
I want to make sure that we do prioritize looking at diplomacy on the world stage, because that's what garners us respect as America. That's what we've been missing, unfortunately, through the Trump administration, and what thankfully President Biden is trying to bring back to the world stage. But there's so many things wrong that needs fixing in this country. And I just want to be part of that solution. Infrastructure, like I just mentioned, is so important. I mean, how many of us drive hours a day just to get to work? Mm-hmm. We got to make sure that our bridges, our freeways are up to speed, and it's safe for us to use, right? And beyond that, you know, our veterans, you know, you're a veteran. Thank you, Andrew, for your service.
Thank you.
But, you know, we're not doing enough to take care of them. There's a lot of mental health issues out there with these veterans, and we need more programs for them to help them. And that expands to the homelessness out there in our communities. It's a mental health issue. Yes, housing probably has something to do with it,
right,
but it's more mental health than anything. And we need more programs to fix and help these folks out there that needs our help.
And those are actually really hot topics right now anyway, right? I mean, hot topics isn't, I don't like using that word, but it's like a trend word, isn't it? It's really, that's reality right now. Do you have any ideas, or have you ever sat back and thought, oh, I wonder if we could do this and that might help homeless, or this might help this? And have you any thoughts that you've thought of that you would, you know, share with folks?
Yeah, I mean, look, I wish we had like enough land and enough companies out there willing to do more charitable work and build and give housing to the homeless population. I wish there's more those that enter the workforce that want to dedicate their careers to social services, so we can have those professionals out on the street helping the homeless population, helping our veterans as well, right? So there's a lot of solutions to these problems that are long going problems that we've had in our nation for a long time, especially in California. We see homelessness as one of the biggest problems. But what are we doing to address that? Not enough. And we need more resources. How do we get more social service folks out there? Well, let's educate them. Mm-hmm. Let's waive their student loans. Let's get these professionals out there where they're needed the most to solve these problems, to help these individuals that need our help.
Now, this isn't, we just don't make these talks up, so we want to prove that this wasn't pre-recorded or anything, but hitting the news today and yesterday, there was some controversy regarding the changing of the 14th Amendment, I think, and I know you're an attorney too, so you've got a little bit more to say. You want to share a little bit about what happened there, or why people are talking about it?
So I would say that I'm a father of a daughter, and she's 6 years old right now. I get scared thinking about her growing up and growing older and not having the ability to make her own healthcare choices. Mm-hmm. That government, that some legislator somewhere, or you know, from 10 years prior, made up some law that she's no longer allowed to exercise her own right. Mm-hmm. I would say I'm 100% pro-choice, and I would share this with all the viewers out there. And I don't say this to to offend,
right,
but I say this as a fact. The current incumbent in office right now, Michelle Steele, has come out to say that she's against a woman's right to control her own health care, even without exceptions. And then now you hear in the news that she used a form of IVF to, start her family. Mm-hmm. And that's completely contradictory to, you know, her life at conception theories that she signed on to. Mm-hmm. So my thing is this, judge a character by what they do and not just what they say, and judge your candidates by that. And I think that's very important. So all this news about what's going on out there right now with IVF, and a woman's right to exercise their prerogative on their bodies, that's something that we have to respect, that's that individual's choice, not ours, not a legislator.
Being somebody who's studied law for a particular amount of years, because you have to go through law school, How do you feel about when we look at changing things that were set down in the Constitution? I mean, obviously, we have to move things forward, yeah. But, you know, there's a fine line there, isn't there? How do you feel about that in general?
I think our nation is always growing. It's always learning. It's always fluid. But as a lawyer, we were taught, you know, there was a certain respect to precedent. Mm-hmm. And when a court like the Supreme Court of the United States issues some type of ruling from the 50s or the 40s, you know, you expect that that's going to be the precedent that we're going to live by. Mm-hmm. But you're seeing a lot of that being upended in recent years because of the makeup of our judicial system, our courts, our specifically the Supreme Court. And that's disheartening, to say the least. When as a lawyer who's supposed to practice and rely on precedent in order to push for justice for your clients, and you have nothing to fall back on because the Supreme Court's changing the rules, changing the precedent, just because of political
push or whatever.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
And so one day you might find yourself on one of those committees. What do you think you would share with your peers there as to, you know, how you keep an open mind of when you're actually having to potentially change something that was written?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And one of the things that I pride myself on is the fact that I always listen to the people around me, my community. I want to know what's going on. I want to take the pulse of the community, of the local leaders, and hear from them on what their thoughts are and their takes are. But I will always act with a moral compass to make sure that I do the right thing for my community, for the people who elected me to do the right thing for them. And as long as I believe that, as long as I have that, I will not do wrong to the community that elected me to be there.
And that's a great leading question there, because obviously, you know, you're campaigning right now. What are you finding from the general public? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you seeing?
Yeah, there's a sense of distrust in politicians and politics, and I'm hearing that from the community. I have never ran for office before. This is my first time running. And I do get from community members that this is refreshing, that they see a first-time candidate running for this office who has no real ties to some political agenda. Mm-hmm. I don't have it. It's just, for me, it's all about serving the people and making sure that I prioritize what they want me to fix in their community. And really, it's about service.
And your areas that you're pounding the streets with, or that you're going to be potentially looking after, you mind sharing what they are so everybody knows?
Yeah, absolutely. So the great city of Buena Park, we were just out there canvassing this past weekend, falls within the 45th District. Fullerton, we were there the weekend before. Los Alamitos, Cypress, Rushmore is also a part of the district that we're going to be canvassing this coming weekend. And then I have Fountain Valley, Garden Grove, Westminster, so the iconic Little Saigon area, mm-hmm. of California. And then we also have Placentia, Hawaiian Gardens, Artesia, Cerritos. So quite a few cities. I might be missing one or two. But
it's a big area.
It's a big area. It's a very long area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. So we always ask everybody this question who comes on the podcast, because it's only fair to allow somebody to, you know, say whatever they want, sort of thing. But the main thing is we get to this point where, is there anything that you would like to share that we've missed, or that you would like to elaborate on, or just generally even a message? Whatever.
Yeah. So I want to share in closing this out that I am the most well-rounded candidate that is running for the 45th District. My heart's in the right place, and I'm doing this to serve, truly, just like when I enlisted in the military. It's not lost on me that when I get elected, I will be representing all of the cities, all of the residents, all of the culture, all of the different makeup of the people in the 45th District. But I want to make the viewers aware of something. Next year, 2025 marks the 50th year since the fall of Saigon. My parents came in the second wave from Vietnam, fleeing from the communist regime out there. And the people of South Vietnam who left made California their home. Most of them made California their home. That's why you have the iconic Little Saigon area. And in the 50 years, next year will mark 50 years, since we made California our home, there's never been a Vietnamese American representing them, giving them voice in Congress. It's time for a change. It's time for representation that actually reflects the people and the district that these representatives represent. And I'm ready for that. So it's not lost on me at all that next year is that 50th year, but I'm here to serve all of the 45th district. So thank you so much, Andrew. Thank you to the North Orange County Chamber for having me on the show today. Thank you.
I wish you all the best of luck. Thank you very much, Derek, for coming on today. I really appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in, and we will see you in our next episode.